This weekend, we're going to be looking at a couple of very important topics, very timely, relevant topics that are really at the forefront of a lot of the spiritual questions that people are asking in our culture today. This evening, we're going to be dealing with the question of salvation, and is there really just one way to be saved? And a lot of us as believers, we know that the Bible teaches that salvation comes through Christ alone, faith in Jesus Christ alone. But a lot of us wonder, why do we believe that? What does the Bible teach about that issue? And how can we share that truth with people in a loving way to persuade them to maybe give up some of this, some of the ideas of religious pluralism and universalism that are out there today, that all roads lead to God, one path is as good as another. So we're going to talk about that in a few minutes tonight, but I want to give you a little plug for tomorrow evening. Don't miss tomorrow evening, okay, friends? We're going to be back here tomorrow evening for a special session looking at the question, has evolution made God irrelevant? And it's going to be a great time. You're not going to want to miss tomorrow evening. What about Richard Dawkins? What about Christopher Hitchens? What about books like The God Delusion and all these pop culture evolutionists out there today who are critiquing the Christian faith? You know, what can we say in response to these guys, and how can we share the truth of God's wonderful, marvelous creation and design with people who have maybe bought into the false philosophy of Darwinian evolution? So it's going to be an awesome time tomorrow night. I really want to invite you back to join us, and you won't regret it. Well, this evening as we begin, I want to share a story with you that I think really does a great job illustrating the need for us to be ready with an answer for these two particular questions. The nature of salvation, is there really just one way? And the question of origins, evolution versus creation. I want to share a story. It's a true story. It took place on June 19, 2004. On June 19, 2004, Flight 1152, Northwest Flight 1152, took off from my hometown, Twin Cities, Minneapolis-St. Paul, on what was supposed to be a routine flight to Rapid City, South Dakota. Now, the pilot of this flight had flown this route numerous times. It was one of his regular routes, probably had flown this route about 100-some times. But on this particular day, the pilot decided that he was going to ignore his navigation equipment, the plane's guidance system, and instead the pilot decided that he was going to fly to Rapid City by sight alone. Now, flying by sight is not all that uncommon for pilots. Basically, all it means is that a pilot will look out the cockpit and they'll fly using the visual landmarks that they see outside the plane. So maybe they'll follow a river or they'll follow the highways or a mountain range. Flying by sight is fairly common. But friends, it's also a good thing to keep your eye on your plane's navigation system at the same time. Well, this pilot decided, you know what, I've done this enough. I'm going to just go the route that I know and we'll get there just fine. So Flight 1152 was heading for Rapid City, and sure enough, the plane was getting there. It was a great flight, no big deal. The pilot looks out the cockpit. He sees off in the distance. He sees the airport. He sees the runway, the landing strip, and the pilot begins to bring the plane down for a landing. Well, the plane made a smooth landing, and the plane began to taxi down the runway, and everybody thought that they had made it to Rapid City just fine. When all of a sudden, the passengers looked out the windows of the airplane, and from out of the hangars of the airport came dozens of military jeeps with armed soldiers with M16 rifles trained at the plane, and they started circling the plane with lights blazing, sirens blaring, and the passengers on board Flight 1152, they're freaking out because they're thinking, what's going on? You know, I thought we just got to Rapid City, but now is there a terrorist on board? Is there a bomb threat? You know, what's happening? I mean, can you imagine that, being on a plane? You think you made it safely to your destination. All of a sudden, you got a dozen military police jeeps circling you with soldiers pointing guns at you, right? Well, the pilot had no clue what was going on. He's freaking out, too. You know, is there a bomb on board? Is there a terrorist? Well, friends, it turns out what had happened was, because this pilot chose to disregard the plane's guidance system, its navigation equipment, and instead fly by the route that he thought was best, what happened was is this pilot had ended up landing 12 miles off course, 12 miles east of Rapid City, South Dakota, at Ellsworth United States Air Force Base. Now, friends, in our post-9/11 world, the U.S. military doesn't look too kindly on commercial airliners coming in for landings on its runways. You know what I'm saying? And this pilot got in big trouble, and the plane was detained for hours, and it was a big mess as they tried to figure out, you know, what had happened here, and realizing that the pilot had just made a dumb error because he took his eyes off of the plane's guidance system. Now, I share the story with you today because I think it really relates to what we're going to be talking about this weekend. The fact that God has revealed to us truth in Scripture. God has given us His guidance system to help us navigate our way through life and to experience life and life to the full, like Jesus talks about in John 10:10. And God has told us the way that leads to life, and He's given us His guidance system. And it's especially important for us to consider God's guidance system when it comes to the question of salvation and how we can be saved. And what is the right path to salvation? But unfortunately, in our world today, too many people are disregarding the truth that God has given us in His Word, God's guidance system, and instead they are flying by sight, going through life, following the paths that they think is best, and totally disregarding the truth that God has given us in His revealed Word. And what happens is people are finding themselves in their lives falling way off course, winding up in destinations they don't want to be. And this is serious, friends. There are serious consequences to having misplaced trust. You know, where you place your trust in life really matters, doesn't it? You know, whether you're talking people, ideas, relationships, you know, where you place your trust really matters. And it matters most in regards to the question of your eternal destiny. You know, when it comes to eternity, where you place your trust has real consequences. And so this evening, what I want to talk about is this popular idea in our world today known as religious pluralism. The idea that all roads lead to God, one path is as good as another. How many of you ever heard somebody say something like that before? Just raise your hand. Yeah, look at that. This is one of the most common statements I hear today when I lecture on college campuses, university campuses. Students and faculty say, all roads lead to God, one path is as good as another. It doesn't matter what you believe, ultimately all people are going to be saved. But friends, this isn't what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that salvation is an exclusive reality, that salvation is found only in Jesus Christ, in His saving grace, through His shed blood on the cross. The Bible doesn't give us a whole bunch of options. It says Christ alone is the way to salvation. And so we need to be ready, friends, to share the truth of the gospel with people in our world who have been caught up in this false man-made philosophy of religious pluralism or the idea of universalism that all people will be saved. We need to be able to share the truth of the gospel that no, salvation comes through Jesus Christ alone. We need to be ready like 1 Peter admonishes us. In 1 Peter 3:15, Peter says, be ready always, prepared with an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you. You know, friends, are you ready? Are you ready with an answer to give to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that you have? We need to be ready to be able to give an answer for why we put our trust in Jesus Christ over all the other religions in the world. But Peter goes on to say in that passage, he says, but we need to do this with gentleness and respect.